and friend, all alive to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with thee close to thee. Close to thee, close to thee, Lord Jesus, close to thee, all along my pilgrim journey. Not for fame my breath shall be, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee, close to thee, Lord Jesus, close.
We are standing presence on holy ground. Amen. We'd like to greet you all this wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great honor and privilege to be in Lima, Ohio again. And I certainly want to thank Brother Jeff Jenkins for the kind invitation to welcome us again to the camp. And we certainly want to say that we love you and we appreciate you. And I thank God that I have the privilege to bring my wife, Sister Ernestine, with me. And thank the Lord for safe traveling mercies. And thank God for His sovereign grace in our lives. I bring greetings from all the believers in Cape Town, South Africa. And all the believers that I've met has asked me to extend their greetings to you. And certainly happy to meet some of the South African believers that are here and staying in the country. We'd like to say thank you for coming. And we want to say God bless you. God be with you. And we certainly enjoyed the meeting last night and this morning, and we thank God for the ministering of the word. One man was telling the other man one day, he says, well, I've been to church for 30 years, and I've heard about 3,000 sermons, and I can't remember one of the sermons. And he said, well, I think it's a waste of time going to church because I don't remember any of the sermons. So the other guy said to him, well, I've been married for 30 years. I've had 32,000 meals. I don't remember all the recipe. My wife has prepared the meals, but without those meals, I wouldn't have been alive today. So when you come to the house of the Lord, it's not feeding your senses, but it's really feeding your soul. And as Brother Branham said, that God is not feeding really the sense knowledge of the man, but God is really feeding the soul. And when Jesus Christ went to the woman at the well, he wasn't going for a body, but he was going for the attribute. It was the word going to the word. It was the eagle going to the eagle. It was God visiting God. And so you don't have to be an intellectual to understand this message, because it's not dealing with your senses, but it's dealing with the attribute. And as Brother Branham said, that the new birth is revealed to the most illiterate person. So you don't have to be clever. You don't have to be an intellectual to understand God, because God doesn't deal with the intellect. God deals with the attribute. And thank God tonight that we are here today. We've never asked to be here. We have no choice in gender. We had no choice in age. We had no choice in country or family. But God has designed us to be here. And God cannot change His mind about us, because God has got no second thoughts. And that's why God has got more faith in the thought concerning you than you have in yourself. And so God cannot lose you. And so we thank God for His sovereign love, His sovereign grace. You have your Bibles with you tonight. We want to turn to the Word of God. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verses 20 and 24. Then also in Deuteronomy chapter 22. And we just want to read a portion of God's word. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and took one of the ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 22 and Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. Thou shalt put away evil from Israel. Verses 28 and 29. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he has humbled her. He may not put her away all the days, all of his days. Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Kind, gracious Heavenly Father, we deem this a wonderful, wonderful privilege that we can bow our hearts before you. We thank you for the services that has taken place here. We thank you for the ministering of the word. We thank you for these wonderful men of God that you've raised up at the end time. We pray your hand of blessing to be upon them. And we pray, God, for this family camp, the continued meetings. We pray that you will come and meet us in a very special way. Thank you, Lord, for the service last night. Thank you for meeting us. Thank you for touching. Thank you for filling with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for delivering. Thank you for the instructions of the word this morning on the headship of Jesus Christ and his subjection. And Father, we just want to say thank you for what you mean to us and what you've done for us. And Father, we pray today that you will bless every family, every loved one, everyone that is here today, that you will meet them in a very special way. Bless your bride of Christ around the world. Bless every local fellowship. Bless your people of God. We pray that you will just be with them. Bless all the men of God traveling around the world. And we pray, God, that your hand of blessing will be upon your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We want to be greet you in the name of the Lord. We want to take our subject on the power invested in the marriage covenant. And I trust the Lord to bless us by the way of his word. Looking back again, that we understand, as Brother Branham taught us, that God is the great eternal one. And God, being eternal, God never had a beginning and God never had an ending. And God in the beginning at first designed the invisible creation. God made the cherubims, God made seraphims, God made angels. And God in his great mind had a plan and God had a purpose. And in God was so many attributes that he wanted to express. And so from the invisible creation, God then came to the physical creation. God designed the animals, and God designed the creatures of the earth. And then from a physical creation, then God moved to a new creation. And so when God made Adam, God made him in his image. And Adam was made in the image of God, male and female. So Adam had both male and female attributes in him. And Adam was a reflection of God, as we heard this morning. And Adam was an image of God. Adam wasn't living in a science civilization, but Adam was in a faith civilization. What was supernatural for us was natural for Adam. Adam could walk upon the water. Adam could speak the word. Adam could, because Adam was a reflection of God. Because God had to produce after its own kind. Like a dog will bring forth more dogs, and cats will bring forth more cats. And if God had to produce more, he had to produce like himself. So Adam was an amateur God. Adam wasn't a baby when God formed him. Adam wasn't an old man, but Adam was a young man. And Adam came fresh from the hands of God. And so we see that when we go back, we're not going back to a kindergarten service. We're not going back to an old age meeting, but we're going back to an eternal youth meeting. Because God in the beginning made Adam a young man. And Adam, God gave Adam dominion and power. And Adam could control everything around him. Adam had dominion. Adam had power. Adam could speak the word. Adam was a superman. Adam had no briefcase. Adam had no cell phone. Adam had no three-piece suit. Adam had no motor car. But Adam was a superman. And if you do not know what Adam was like, you look at the second Adam. The second Adam came to demonstrate what the first Adam was like. It came to express this is what man should have been in the beginning. And so Adam, being on the earth, God placed him on the earth. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, all the animals. And Adam named them and identified them in their characteristics. And Adam knew exactly who they were. And yet with all the wonderful creatures around Adam, Adam was still lonely. And so Brother Branham showed us once again that Adam was there. Within Adam was a feminine attribute. And so God is also masculine and God is feminine. Because God has got female attributes. Because he was made in the image of God. And then we find with everything around Adam, Adam seeing the animal creatures, Adam seeing masculine and female, and around the animal kingdom, Adam desired fellowship. Adam desired to be like the other animals. Adam had God. Adam had power. Adam had dominion. Adam had everything, but yet Adam was lonely. And so we see it was not Eve that was lonely. It was Adam that was lonely. So we see that it wasn't the creation that was lonely, it was God that was lonely. And that's why we are a response to God's loneliness. And that's why Brother Branham says that God desires to fellowship with us more than we desire to fellowship with God. And so we see that Adam, in that position, being an amateur God, Adam did not grow old. And everything was made not to die. Everything, there was a perfect will, that perfect life, perfect joy, perfect peace in a perfect God. And everything was in perfection. There was no thorns and there was no thistles. Heaven is on the earth. And then we find God then put Adam to a deep sleep. God did not take outside material, but God took inside material. And so God didn't take another piece of dirt and made a woman, but God put Adam to a deep sleep, and then God took from Adam. So we see that the first couple on the earth was made with no language of divorce. Adam could not put her away because she was a part of him. And so when God took from Adam, God took his bones and God took his flesh and God took the blood, and then God formed the woman. Eve wasn't a baby when God formed her. She wasn't an old woman, but she was a young woman. God designed and God built the body. And Adam, being a prophet, Adam being a son of God, Adam must have seen the great operation. And here was Eve standing, the woman standing, and she was wondering, who am I? You know, she had an identity crisis. Where do I come from? Who's my mom? Who's my dad? I see animals. I see creatures. I see trees. I see everything around. Who am I? And she really had an identity crisis. But God took her to Adam. Because Adam holds the secret of her identity. Amen. It's like Brother Branham showed that we did not know who we were, but Christ, our life, has appeared. And only Christ, our life, has appeared to show us our identity of who we are. We did not know who we were. But Christ, at the end time, has appeared to us that we can find out who we really are. And so when God brought her to Adam, Adam said, you are me in bride form. The body was different, but it was still Adam. See, it was a different structure. The physical was different, but yet she was Adam. She was Adam in another form. So what was God doing? God was the first surgeon, but God was also the first marriage officer. And God introduced the woman to the man. What God was doing, God was introducing Adam back to Adam in the form of a woman. So the form was different. She will be like him. Those in the bride will be so much like him, she will be him. Now those three words is the greatest words to me in the message of the hour. That how she will be him. So it's a she, but it's him in bride form. Brother Branham says in the message, Rising of the Sun, page 3, the opening of the seals was to show us how you were in Christ in the beginning and how you will reveal at the end time. So the revealing, the opening of the seals was to reveal the woman, the bride. So you were sealed with the seals, and when the seals open, you were revealed. Amen. And so we see that when God introduced the woman to the man, Adam had to identify her, because Adam identified all the other animals by characteristics. Adam picked up the mind of God. So what was in the mind of God came in the mind of Adam. And because God already named the animals, but Adam had to be in the same revelation of the mind of the Father. Now, God named everything, but God wanted Adam to be part of his creation. And God said to Adam, I want you to name the animals. Now, if the first son of God can recognize who his wife is, then the next son of God can also recognize who his wife is. Because you have to work from the original. Because Brother Branham says, if you want to have any truth, you've got to go back to the beginning. Because the first couple holds the mystery of all couples on the earth. So you have to go back to the beginning. And so when Adam saw her, he said to her, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and you shall be called woman. And he prophesied, so shall a man leave father and mother shall cleave unto his wife. Your mother and father is the closest blood tie to you on the earth. 23 chromosomes from the mother and from the father. And that's the closest people to you on the earth, mom and dad. But God says, I want you to leave the closest blood tie and cleave to your wife. Because God is not reflected as mother and father, but is reflected as bride and bridegroom. Amen. So God is saying, I want you to leave your closest blood tie and join yourself to your wife. The enemy comes up and says, leave your wife and go back to your mother and father. But God says, I want you to leave your closest blood tie because I'm reflected in husband and wife. So we see that the marriage covenant, when God made Adam, that couple was made with no language of divorce. Adam could not divorce Eve. Adam could not put her away. Adam could not say, well, you've sinned, I'm going to put you away. There was nobody Adam could remarry again. There wasn't two Eves in Adam, there was only one. So there is no polygamy in the beginning. We must understand that sex wasn't part of the original marriage covenant. And yet, God was the one who invented it. God was the one who designed sex. But yet, sex wasn't given for the human kingdom to repopulate. We had to come by spoken word multiplication. But the sex act was given for the animal kingdom to reproduce on a seasonal method. And God took the act of sex and God put it into the marriage covenant. And says, only in the marriage covenant I will honor that. And that's why Satan hates the marriage covenant. And that's why Satan puts pressure on the young people to commit the act before marriage. And that'll be fornication. And he puts pressure on the married to commit the act while in the covenant of marriage, and that would be adultery. It wasn't two acts or three acts that caused the banner to fall. It was one act. And so the act is still effective today. But we must understand that God designed the act of sex was designed by God. It wasn't designed by Satan. But it wasn't given for the human kingdom to multiply. And that's why you don't see animals standing on the corners. You don't see animal prostitutes. Because it was given for them on a seasonal method. It wasn't for pleasure, but it was there to produce. And so because it wasn't given to us, so we have a problem. And that's why sexual sins is harder to forgive than any other sin. It's harder to overcome sexual sin than any other sin because it's the original sin. But thank God, when God sends the Holy Spirit, it can bring every desire under His control. And that's why without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll never be able to overcome. And that's why everything around us is sexual. Music is sexual. Singing is sexual. Dancing is sexual. Advertising is sexual. We're living in the world of sex. And so Satan absolutely destroys the minds of people. There's the internet, there's the world, there's magazines everywhere with beautiful women to attract the male. We must understand that the man has got an eye problem and the woman has got an ear problem. It is what she hears and what he looks at. So Satan undresses the woman because the man has got an eye problem, is what he looks at. And so we find that Eve, being placed in that position, she was part of Adam. When Satan came to her, he spoke to her. And the serpent, Brother Branham says he was more handsome looking than Adam. He had a place for a soul, but he had no soul. He had a tongue, but he had no discernment. He could speak, but he could not discern. And he spoke to her. He ministered her out of her position. So Eve stood between two preachers, two ministers. It was Adam and it was the serpent. And she was preached out of her position. And when she took a wrong teaching, corruption set in. And if corruption sets in by a false teaching, there has to be a true teaching. At the end time to stop corruption. And that's why for the first time in 6,000 years, There's a group of people on this earth that's not going to die. Because a true teaching has come to be able to put a stop to corruption. And so we see how when Eve fell, Adam had to go to her. If Adam did not go to her, God would have burned the body up. Brother Branham says he would have burned the body of Eve up like he would burn up the Roman Catholic system. But Adam quickly went to her. And by doing that, Adam planted the seed there. And so we find when Adam planted the seed, she was saved by seed. She was saved by childbearing. Amen. And Adam could not redeem her because redemption means to bring back to the original state. Adam rescued her. Amen. And then God changed the covenant from a co-equal to a woman's covenant. And God placed her, as we heard this morning, under headship. But in the beginning, there was an equality in the beginning. That's why God never made the woman inferior to the man. A woman is not second class. She's not a slave. She's not a servant. But she was part of the man. Adam could not put her away. Putting her away is putting himself away. And that's why the Bible says we might deny him, but he cannot deny us. God cannot put you away. God cannot change his mind about you. God cannot say, I made a mistake. Your moods, your upsets, your frustration cannot change God's mind. Because God never saw you from time, but God saw you from eternity. And that's why if you can have faith in your origin, you can have faith in your destiny. Your origin is not America. We're not Americans, we're not Africans, we're not Germans, but we are Christians. We have a national spirit because we come from God. And God has got more faith in you than you have in yourself. Because when God saw you perfect. He never saw you smoking, he never saw you drinking, he never saw you crippled, blind, he saw you perfect. God took a picture of you. And God kept that picture in his mind until God regulated you to come in a certain church age. And you have no choice of color. Lord, I want to be white, brown, black. You have no choice of gender. I want to be male or female. You have choice of family. You have no choice. God has designed you to be there. You're not here by accident. You never came by chance, but God designed you to be here. You could not come forth in Luther's day. You could not come forth in Wesley's day. You had to come forth in your day, in your time. And that's why Brother Branham says, when you recognize the message for your day to be eagle food, you've heard from your theophany. You heard from the attribute, you heard from God. Because it was God coming back to God. Amen. So God placed in the book of Genesis a covenant. And God placed in laws in the book of Deuteronomy. And it's about 5 sexual laws that God placed in there. The laws of the bondwoman. If she's a bondwoman and she's trapped by a man, she's only scorched because she's not free. God placed laws there. Then in the book of Deuteronomy, the law of a woman in captivity. If somebody sees a woman, Israel, as captive, a nation, and they see a beautiful woman, and somebody wants to choose her, he has to bring her in the home of his father. She has to shave off all her hair. She has to take off the robes of captivity and put other robes on there. And after a month or two, he doesn't want to live with her anymore. He cannot resell her. He must let her go free. Now, and then we find there was a free woman. The free woman covenant is that when she's a free woman and not under a bond covenant, and she's found with the man, both of them dies. The same act, but the penalty was different. The one dies because one is free. The other one is a bond woman, and she's only scorched. It's the same act, but then the punishment is different. Because one is bond and one is free. Amen. And so we find then there is the act in the city, a young girl finding in the city and outside in the field. If she's in the field, he dies and she stays alive. If it's in the city, both of them die. And so we find if a young man takes a virgin, or he just takes a girl and he takes her virginity, he shall give the father 50 shekels of silver, and he shall not put her away all the days of his life. God placed these sexual laws in the Bible to protect the dignity of the woman. Because we understand that in the beginning, the sexual act wasn't given for the human kingdom to reproduce itself. And that's why the human being have a problem with it. Because it wasn't part of the original marriage covenant. Amen. And we see God judges every action and our thoughts. God judges how you deal with every situation. And that's why at the end time, we have picked up the mind of God. The mind of God is really the DNA of God. If I know who you are, I have to pick up what's in your mind. And I have to watch your decisions, because your decisions reveal what is in your mind. Now, nobody knew there was a lamb in God's mind. But the lamb, what was the lamb doing in the mind of God? What was the brazen altar doing in the mind of God? God already had mercy before there was even sin. Brother Branham showed that the mercy seat was already in the thinking of God before man even fell. That's why before God designs a problem, He designs a solution. And no matter what troubles you go through, God has to design the solution first before He creates the problem. And that's why Brother Branham said that God knew that in Satan will be a power of deception. Now God designed Satan. Satan was a co-pastor. Brother Branham says he was co-equal. God took his place among the angels as Michael. And he was an archangel. Michael was an archangel. He was an associate. The only thing he could not do, he could not create. But God designed that. And the prophet says that God designed him, and God knew that in him will be a power of deception. But before God designed Satan, God already wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that Satan cannot deceive you. Satan is not an original thought. Because all the thoughts of God are not eternal. But you are the original thought of God. So before God even designed Lucifer, God already wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that Satan cannot deceive you. Can we say praise the Lord? And so we see God judges how you deal with every situation. We heard last night how God will take severe measure to keep your temple clean. Brother Branham says God will take heavy trials to rip the world from you. But God's desire is that temple must be filled with the Holy Ghost. We heard this morning God will take severe measures to rip you from bondage. And God will do everything. God will turn the world upside down. But God will not see you in bondage. Because God will take that power of bondage away from you. Because you cannot serve God under bondage because you're a free woman. And God will take severe measures to keep your temple clean. And that's why we need a refilling of the Holy Ghost all the time. You can say, well, I'm being baptized with the Holy Ghost 7 years ago in a certain room, in a certain place, and you can know the day, the time, and the hour. But you have to be refilled every day. You have to maintain what God has given you. And that's why every morning before you leave home, you should have devotions with your wife and your children. You should go in and have to be disciplined. You have to keep that temple clean. And you have to read the Word and you have to pray. And before you retire at nighttime, you have to filter your mind full of the Word. Because your behavior comes from your thought pattern. It's what comes through your mind. That's why DVDs and films and movies and those things destroy your thinking. And everything around you is sexual. Is that to destroy your mind, your thinking. Even newspapers and magazines, everything is there to destroy your thinking. And that's why you need to pray. And you need to, in the morning and the evening, you have to discipline yourself to seek the face of God. And say, God, I'm not going to leave this home until you bless me today. And before you retire, get your wife together and pray, because you need God every day. And if it's not there, your life is not worthy of the gospel. And as we heard last night, you need to have an organizational life. And so we see, God judges how you deal with every situation. But what judgment you judge will determine what judgment you shall be judged with. We must deal with people discreetly, and we must deal with people fairly. We cannot deal with people selfishly. And that's why Brother Manum says every human being born by sex is born with a selfish nature. And that's why you don't need a divorce from your wife or your husband, you need a divorce from yourself. Why do people divorce? It's because of two selfish people living in one home. And the one is saying, if you don't love my family, why should I love your family? If you don't buy me a gift, why should I buy you a gift? If you don't care for me, why should I care for you? If you don't make me a cup of coffee, why should I make you a cup of coffee? It's two people struggling because of self. That's why marriage is an act of self-denial. I'm no more longing for myself, but I'm living for the somebody that God has given me. My husband's needs is more important than my needs. And you would say, well, my wife's needs is more important than my needs. You live for her. You make her happy. You cherish her. You nourish her because she's part of you. Can we say praise the Lord? The reason why people break up churches and leave because of self. If I can't get my way, I'm out of this church. Self is destructive. Like a little child born with self. 2 years, you're thinking you're raising up a little angel, you're raising up a sinner. And you have to lead that child to Jesus Christ. And show that child the saving grace of Christ. Amen. When that child is 4, 3 years old, it's my doll, it's my room, it's my toys, it's my sweets, and everything is mine. And you have to teach the child to give. Cut the apple in half and share it with Johnny and do this and give. And you have to break down all that self, because we are born with the nature of self. Amen. And so we see we cannot exploit and manipulate people for our own purposes. A man in the marriage covenant cannot abuse his headship by treating his wife as a slave, a servant, and misusing authority as a head. He cannot do that. And as we heard this morning, we take our example from Jesus Christ. He's the head of the body. And that's why Brother Branham says, under headship, when the masculine, when the head comes, there's no more deception. That's why we can say there's never been a day like this day. Because the headship has come. The days of man is over. All the messengers is gone. Brother Branham is gone. Paul is gone. All the seven messengers is gone. Who is here? Christ. And the headship being here now is a vindication. The rapture is at hand. Just imagine, for seven church ages, the church was a headless woman. Before Paul could get to the church was already a fallen woman. The church remained clean, Brother Branham says, from AD 33 to AD 53. So for 20 years, the church remained clean. And so before Paul, the husband, could come to the church was already a fallen woman. And Paul says, I desire to present Christ a beloved bride. And Paul desired to be the marriage officer. He desired to be the marriage officer to introduce the bride to Christ. But he says, you have been bewitched by another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel. He says, O Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now, if Paul was on the upper room, there would be no deception. Because there's no deception under a prophet. But God kept Paul away. And if Paul was in the upper room, there would be no deception and there would be no seven church ages. But God purposely kept Paul away, that the bride body could grow. And for seven church ages, the cornerstone became the headstone. It's the same stone, but in a different position. In the morning time, he was the foundation stone. in the evening time, he changed the position as head of the body. And for seven church ages, the church was a headless woman. What defiled the church? Nicolaitism, Baalism, and Jezebelism. That defiled the church. And so Brother Branham says before Christ could take headship, God had to come in human flesh in the way of being a prophet to take all the leaven out of the church. And all the leaven was taken out of the church, down comes the head. And for the first time in 2,000 years, the head is fitly joined to the body. And that's why we sing the song, there's never been a day like this day. And there's never been a light like this light. Before Eve could get to Adam, she was Mrs. Serpent. So there was no true union between Adam and Eve. That's where a child is born in the marriage covenant. While a woman is married, she has a child from another man, it's a bastard child. If she has a child before she was married, it's an illegitimate child. So Cain was a bastard. Amen. And before Adam could get to her, she was defiled. And before Jehovah could get to Israel, they took Saul. And before Christ could get to the early church, the church was deceived. But at the end time, before Satan could come in, God opened the seals. And that's why for the first time in 6,000 years, God has uncovered himself. And for the first time, God is unveiled. Who takes the veil off? Not the father, the bridegroom. And God is naked and the bride is naked. Why? Because of the marriage covenant. Can we say praise the Lord? And for the first time in 6,000 years, God has unveiled himself. Because God was covered. He had a threefold mystery in his mind. So at the end time, God uncovered himself. And there can only be two uncovered people in the marriage covenant. So you are naked and God is naked because the invisible union has taken place. You know God today like no other church age would know him. Because of the marriage covenant. Because you are unveiled and God is unveiled. Amen. So we see he has to, as we said, a man in a marriage covenant cannot abuse his wife by treating his wife as a slave or a servant. He has to get his example from Christ. Because Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 23, the Bible reads, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body." So we see, as we heard this morning, it is dealing with headship. And God has to place us under headship. Some people in the message says, "Well, I don't need a pastor. I've got Brother Branham. He's my head." But you see, there's the angel of the age. There's the angel behind the pulpit, the local pastor. And Christ is the angel of angels. And your husband is the angel at home. Now, some women might say, "Well, I don't need my husband, I've got my pastor." And some would say, "Well, I don't need the pastor, I've got the messenger." The Pentecostal church would say, "Well, I don't need a messenger, we've got Christ." And the Jews would say, "Well, I don't need Christ, we've got Jehovah." But God has placed us under headship. That's why Malachi 4 must anoint Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4 will take you to Revelation 4. And Revelation 4 says, "Come up higher." And the only way for you to come up higher, you have to be under the fivefold ministry. Because Malachi 4 has to anoint Ephesians 4. And Ephesians 4 takes you to Revelation 4 and says, "Come up." Can we say praise the Lord? If you reject the fivefold ministry, you'll never grow. I'll meet you 10 years down the line, you'll still be the same. You've got stuck with the veil. Brother Branham was the veil. But you got to go beyond the veil. And you cannot come to the message unless you meet the veil. And William Branham is the veil. And for you to understand God, you have to meet your man for the age. But you have to learn to go beyond the veil. Because that's where Christ is. Because if you get stuck with the veil, you become a Branhamite. But you got to go beyond the veil, because Christ is not with the veil. Christ is beyond the veil. That's why Brother Branham's departure is our maturity. The Jews rejecting Christ is our sovereign grace. The Pentecostal church rejecting this message is our token. If they did not reject this message, we have no token. But it's their rejection that gave us the token. And it's Brother Branham's departure that gave us our maturity. If Brother Branham was here, we'd have never grown. None of us would have grown. But if Brother Branham had to come back, we can talk to him now. We can speak to him. Because we have grown. But God had to remove the veil for our growth. Can we say praise the Lord? And so a woman, the Bible says, the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And that's why a man has to redeem his wife. If you feel my wife is stubborn, she's like a mother, she's got all the bad in that you look at it, but you have to redeem her. But there's no redemption without suffering. You have to suffer to redeem. For you to redeem your unsaved husband, you have to suffer. And for you to redeem your unsaved wife or the mood, you have to suffer. But you say, well, I don't want to suffer. I want to get out. But there is no redemption without suffering. But you have to become an amateur redeemer. Because Christ is the redeemer and you become the amateur redeemer. And you can redeem that woman. Can we say praise the Lord? A woman is not just property like a car in your garage. Your microwave in the kitchen, your wife in the bedroom. She must not be viewed as property, supplying your needs. Where there is a need, you use your car. And whether it is, but there is no marriage union between you and your motor car. A woman must not be viewed as property. That you can just supply your sexual needs. If I'm happy, that's it. But she's not be viewed as a property, as just property, but she has to be viewed as part of you. If you talk bad about her, you talk bad about yourself. If you run her down, you run yourself down. But if you nourish her and cherish her as Christ the church, you find the perfect reflection. If a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, and he loves God, and he prays every day, and he feeds on the Word of God, he will transfer that love to his wife, because he's his reflection. Amen. So your wife is your glory. She's a part of you, a further expression of you. She's the strength of your marriage. She's a part of you from eternity. That's why you have to talk to her. That's why a hug to a woman is more meaningful than physical contact. Just hugging her. Say, honey, I really love you. I thank you for who you are and what you are. Thank you for being a wonderful woman. Just by talking to her, she lives by what she hears. Can we say praise the Lord? That's more meaningful to her than physical contact. Physical contact is not her problem. It's your problem. But her need is for love. And a language of love is different from your love. Can we say praise the Lord? So we find that she's your glory and she's your complement. And she is the one that reveals you. And that's why you have to bring your wife to adoption. Christ was under God. And God brought Christ to adoption. That he would say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So it was an equality. The father and son became one. Because the Father raised the Son to adoption. Christ at the end time raised Brother Branham to adoption. And Father and Son was under Colorado storm. And both Father and Son could have spoken the storm out of existence. But the Father said, Son, I want you to talk. A son spoke and the storm disappeared. There was no difference between God saying it and William Branham saying it. Because there was an adoption. There was an equality. And if we see that same pattern between Christ and God and Brother Branham, the age, the angel of the age, and Christ, we can see the same pattern between pastor and church. A pastor cannot be up there and a church down there. Because there is no fellowship between superior and inferior. If the minister is up there and the church is down, there's no fellowship. He has to bring the church up to where he is. He can fellowship with her. Amen. He's not preaching down with them, but he's raising them up. It's not a cattle raiser. He's not preaching his resentment in the church. If he preaches resentment and he preaches all his feelings in the church will have a nervous breakdown. Like many women would have nervous breakdowns because the husband is an abusive husband. He's a tight-fist husband. He spends money all on himself and his family, but it comes to her, he's tight-fist. But he has to bring her up to adoption. He has to raise her up and he would say, my wife's voice and my voice is the same. Her name in the check is the same as mine. It's no more your account and my account, but it's ours. You trust her. You believe in her because you raise her up to equality. And that's why the message, believers, we should have the most healthiest marriages on this earth. Because we take our examples from Christ. God and Christ. Christ and the messenger. And then from pastor church and then from right into husband and wife. And so we find in the days of Noah, they took themselves, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took unto them wives which they choose. So in the days of Noah, they took themselves wives because it was such an immoral thing. Now from Genesis to Moses, it was 2,600 years. Sex became such a bad thing that from one man to one woman, it became to one man but two women. It went into incest. It went to Lot with his two daughters. It went to man with man. And when Moses came, man was even living with animals. From 2000, from Genesis to the time of Moses, we find the human race was so immorally destroyed. And God had to absolutely place in laws to protect the dignity of the woman. And so a man cannot be doing anything with the woman because he's a man and because he's a leader. And because that sex was such an immoral thing, God destroyed that generation. And now we are back in the same hour. A sexual explosion, man multiplying, a population explosion. And we are back at Sodom. Most of the designers of women's clothing is homosexuals. And the homosexuals control the corporate world. Because they have sexual pleasure, but they have no responsibility. He can go to college, he can go to university, and he can climb the ladder of success. You will get to 24, 25, you'll get married, you have to come. You cannot climb the ladder of success, but they have all sexual pleasure, and they do not have any responsibility as children, so they climb up the ladder of success. And they become powerful, and they control the global economies. And they are protected by a Sodom law. But thank God for Elijah. That came to pull us out of Sodom. And we have to apply the token. And so we find God has already laid down boundaries of the marriage covenant. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then shall they both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shall you put away evil from Israel. And so we find both of them die. She's receiving another man's seed. A womb is only for her husband's seed. And so she has received seed from another man. In Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verses 28 and 29, if a man be found a damsel, that is a virgin which is not betrothed, or engage and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife because he has humbled her, He may not put it away all the days of his life. And so we see that he broke the seal of a woman. He did that outside the consent of the parents. He must redeem her and take the shame from her, because marriage is redemption. And God says, you give the father 50 shekels of silver, and there's no writing of divorcement for you, because you have humbled her. He must redeem her. He must marry her. He has humbled her. He used the situation of the weakness of the woman to sexually exploit her. He has disrespected the home of her parents. And God placed the law there. Can we say praise the Lord? And the covenant, in the covenant of marriage, he shall not put her away all the days of his life. Why did God place all these laws? God was preserving the sacredness of the marriage covenant. Because there's power invested in the marriage covenant. And God was preserving and protecting the dignity of the woman. And so we find marriage is not only social and domestic, but marriage is a mystery. Some people can have all the social part of marriage right, but they do not know the doctrine part of marriage. And people can write books about marriage, but when the storm comes, there's no bark. There's no protection. And so at the end time, God has given us the doctrine of marriage to protect us. Can we say praise the Lord? And so that's why the message of the hour is not zeal without knowledge. And so we find the act of sex caused the entire planet to fall. And it's the act that God only recognizes in the marriage covenant. God doesn't recognize it nowhere else. Because in the beginning, sex wasn't part of the original marriage covenant. It was not so. That's why Satan attacks the marriage covenant. He has put pressure upon the young, and he puts pressure on those that are married. And he always anoints another woman to look prettier than your wife. And without the Holy Ghost, you'll never survive. He'll always anoint somebody else to look nicer than your wife. And that's when you're a married man, you should not compliment any other woman but your wife. Your word should only be for her, because she's the one God has given you. Don't even compliment another sister. You look nice in that dress, or I like your hairstyle, or I like your shoe. You keep it to yourself. The only person that you really compliment is your wife. Because woman lives by what they hear. Because if her husband don't compliment her and you compliment her, she starts thinking about you. I like your red dress. I like your black shoes. I like the way you comb your hair. I like the way you do things. And so she said, well, my husband never tells me these things, but this man tells me all this. So she starts dreaming about you. Because she lives by what she hears. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why one man by his mouth can deceive five women. And one woman with a body can deceive five men. Because Satan uses the body of the female and he uses the mouth of the male. Because she lives by what she hears and you live by what you see. But the message of the hour has come to bring sanity to us. The only thing that's sensible on this earth is the revealed word of the hour. Outside of this message, brother, sister, you are insane. Because this is the mind of God. This is the thinking of God. What made Rebecca a bride? What did Rebecca do to become a bride? She did nothing. She picked up the mind of the messenger. The messenger said, the first damsel who comes out and feeds my camels and gives my camels water to drink, that'll be a sign that she's the bride. What was on the messenger's mind was transferred on Rebecca's mind. And she became a bride because of her mind transferring. What was in God's mind came in the prophet's mind. What was in that mind is now in our heart. It is from Father. It is to Son. It's now bride. This is a bride revelation. William Branham was the last one man scripture. There's no room for another one man. There's no room for platform demonstrators. William Branham was the last platform demonstrator. God has moved to a many-membered body. Can we say praise the Lord? There's nobody from this country in this country that's special. God has transferred His glory in His bride. That's why it's the bride coming of Christ. It is Jesus in bride form, in bride age, in bride coming. Because it's in His people. The third pool will not be a platform demonstration. But the third pool will go home with you. Praise His wonderful name. The third pool will be in your everyday life. It is Christ in the church, the hope of glory. Amen. And so we see today, everything around, it affected Eden. It has the same effect today because it is a scarlet sin. It has caused the entire planet to fall. It is Satan's main tool. Politicians, kings and presidents, ministers, great men fall by that same act. Man can be a preacher for 30 years. One act with another woman, he's gone. What makes that act so powerful that people can forgive you every other sin but not that? Because it's a scarlet sin. It's the only act that you use your body to do it with. Can we say praise the Lord? And that's why we should clean our minds and our thoughts from magazines, newspapers, and internet, and all those things that we need the Holy Spirit. And we need to have a re-baptism every day. Every day, from morning till evening. Because that's the only thing that's going to make you clean. This message of the hour hasn't come to bring us a saint's knowledge, but it's to bring us revelation knowledge. Saints is what, if it's a saint's knowledge, it will make you puffed up. But it's revelation knowledge will bring humility. Because Brother Manham says, every revelation God gives to you must bring humility. Because revelation is God's grace to you. Can we say praise the Lord? And that's why we are admonished to abstain from the very presence of evil. We're in the world of slaves. We were in the world of slaves, of cigarettes, wine, immoral clothing, dirty dancing, dirty music. But when we heard the eagle call, it broke the chains of sin from us. We are no more slaves of sin. And I believe the message of the hour have to bring a sinless nature to flow through you. That sin must never be have any dominion over you. We have to come in the same position William Branham came. Because God waved him up. God doesn't want us to worship Brother Branham. But God wants us to come to the same maturity that God dealt with him. And he was the first wave sheave. There's many more to come. Sin will have no more dominion over us. Sin will have no more rulership over you. Sin will have no control over you. Because everything will come under your feet. Can we say praise the Lord? We see Joseph was going to put Mary away privately. In an engaged state, he thought she was to become defiled. But God honored him and told him to redeem her, to take the responsibility upon him. Brother Branham says Joseph was a man of 42 years old. If Joseph was a young man, he would never be able to handle the situation. Christ could not come through a married woman because of whom was being defiled. He could not come through a young girl, otherwise she would have been stoned. And Christ would have been stoned. But he had to come in a woman that's a young virgin, but she must be engaged. And God raised up Joseph. Brother Branham says he was a widower. He was married, he had children, and God raised him up. And God used a matured man to protect the situation. And here Joseph hears that his lady friend, that his girlfriend, she's expecting. And for the first time, the words is mentioned that she's received the child of the Holy Ghost. The first woman in the Bible, the entire Bible, the history of the human race who was actually found with the child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph was troubled in his mind. What should I do? If Joseph had to speak to his family, the family would have spoken to the elders and she would have been stoned. Joseph had a troubled mind. His mind was full of trouble, but God knows how to come in your troubled mind. God sent an angel to his troubled mind. And God said to Joseph, what is happening to Mary, it is not anybody else, but it's God. An angel and Joseph, we find Joseph did not go around from house to house talking about it. Joseph kept it privately. And God came in the mind of Joseph. And the Bible said that Joseph did not know Mary until the child was born. A young man would have never been able to handle that. But God used a matured man to protect that word. And God honored Joseph. Because God had to come to the laws of the Old Testament, and he could not come to a young girl unattached. He couldn't come to a married woman. He had to come to a young girl, but she has to be in an engaged state. Yes. Amen. And Joseph was there to protect her, to hide Christ. And the angel said, go to Egypt. The angel said, come out of Egypt. The angel was guiding him all the time because Christ had to become one of us. He became you that you can become him. Him who knew no sin became sin for you that you might become the very righteousness of God by being in Christ. He took your place that you might take his place. Can we say praise the Lord? We realize this is the age of sin. Hell is on the earth and Satan wants to defile your mind and your spirit. And that's why you have to clean your home. Any bad magazines, throw it out. Any bad newspapers, throw it out. Any bad DVDs, everything, throw it out. Clean your home. Because God cannot give you the token unless you clean your home. And you have to say, God, I need you more than ever. And God needs a man as the pastor of the home to say, God, I have to take responsibility for my family. Don't try to reconstruct your wife. Don't try to change her and say, well, you know, I want to reconstruct my wife like my mother was. You married her the way God given you. And there's things in her life that you don't understand and like. You have to redeem her. Because you take the place of Christ. And so we find this is Satan's Eden. But God has sent us an Elijah ministry to restore us back to the Word. Brother Branham says, every time a church needs revival, they have to come back to the Word. Every time that you as an individual need a revival, you have to come back to the Word. It says, come back to the Word, and miracles will follow. The Word don't follow miracles, but the miracles will always follow the Word. And you put a wife in her position, a man in his place, the miracles will happen. Can we say, praise the Lord? The power invested in the marriage covenant is to take away the reproach. The power that's invested in the marriage covenant is to take away the reproach, to give you a new status, and to bring a woman to an equality with a man. There is no covenant on the entire planet that's so powerful than the marriage covenant. It's the only covenant that can bring a woman to an equality with a man. To give her a new status and to take away all away her reproach. Can we say praise the Lord? You can be in the deepest bondage and you can be totally made free. That's why Brother Branham says the new birth is a marriage. And come into equal status by virtue of the marriage union. That's why we are Jesus in bride form. By a marriage covenant. That's why Brother Branham says, I no longer call you church, but I call you bride. Now, no other messenger could make that statement. No other messenger of all the ages could say, you are justified as though you've never sinned before. That is only pronounced under the marriage covenant. Martin Luther did not bring the ultimate of justification. Because he still smoked. He still drank. But the ultimate of justification came is when the judge came down. When the judge at the end time came down. And he says, you've never done it in the first place. And as far as God is concerned, you never smoked, you never drank. You were trapped into this union. And that's why we can say there's never been a day like this day. We as the bride of Christ are going to become the queen of the universe. Just imagine you are going to become the queen of the universe. We are joint heirs with Him by virtue of marriage. It can change your status. It can change your relationship. It can change your privileges, your position, your authority. That's why we thank God for the invisible union. Can we say praise the Lord? Romans chapter 5 is our justification chapter. Romans chapter 6 is our sanctification chapter. Romans chapter 7 is our invisible union. Romans chapter 8 verses 1, there is no condemnation for those who are proven in Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, that you might come to adoption. Romans chapter 8 verse 24, that you might be conformed in the image of the Son. And he closes Romans chapter 8. He says, there is no, who can separate you? Who can divorce you? Who can divorce this bride? Who can divorce this? There's nothing. And that's why we are singing the song, there's never been a day like this day. Praise His wonderful, glorious name. Well, look at Ruth. She came in the harvest time as a beggar. She came in as a gleaner. She came in as a widow. But at the end of the harvest, she owned everything that Boaz owned. How? How did she come at the end of the harvest that she was now owning everything Boaz owned? The marriage covenant. She started as a gleaner, as a widow. But at the end of the harvest, she was now owning everything Boaz had by virtue of marriage. Marriage is not social and domestic. It's a mystery. It's a great mystery, but I speak to you concerning Christ and the church. Amen. The marriage covenant is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is a relationship that God wants to relate to His people. That's what the message of the hour is, not religion and church. It's a relationship. We don't become church lovers, we become God lovers. Church people love church. They have a church suit, a church dress, a church hat, church shoes. They identify clothing with church. But we're not church lovers, we are God lovers. Whether there's church or no church, you still love God. Our joy doesn't come by church. Our joy comes by looking in the Word. Praise His wonderful, glorious name. Boaz's inheritance was in Ruth. And his inheritance is in the saints. Where is God's inheritance? Is in the saints. A rich man reveals his riches through his wife. There was another close kinsman. But the kinsman said, Boaz said, you can redeem. He says, yes, I will redeem. But the condition was, you must raise up seed. But he could not raise up seed. Praise His wonderful name. Our Boaz can redeem. And our Boaz can also raise up seed. Amen. And we find Brother Branham showed about Lazarus, how that Lazarus was in the grave. He was dead for 4 days, stinking. In his loins was children, seeds in his body. And when God raised him up, He rose all those seeds with Him. All His children was raised up in Him. And if those children would be married and come up out of Lazarus, those kids would say, when my father died, I died with him. When my father was buried, I was buried with my father. When my father was stinking, I was stinking with him. But when my father arose, I rose with him. Praise His wonderful name. That's why Brother Branham says we died with him. We were buried with him. We rose with him. And now we are sitting with him in heavenly places. That's why John the Baptist, he says, I greatly rejoice because I've heard the voice of the bridegroom. But John the Baptist could not reveal the bride to the bridegroom. Where was the bride? Still in the bridegroom. Amen. And when the bridegroom was in the earth, where was the bride? She was a mystery in the bridegroom. Amen. The end time Elijah not only heard the voice, but he became the voice. Not only become the voice, but also reveal the bride to the bridegroom. And William Branham became our marriage officer. The marriage officer doesn't go with you on your honeymoon. He doesn't go with you in a home. Brother Branham has united us. God took him away. I don't have to hold on to the marriage officer. He's introduced me to Christ. He was the one who introduced Christ to me. He united Christ to me. God took him off the scene. But Christ is here. And I have to go and dig up the marriage officer. And say, marriage officer, you have to be with me. We're united with Jesus Christ. Can we say, praise God? The intimacy, the position, the sharing of rights. The most intimate way that God will reveal himself to his people is the marriage covenant. That's why God is not related as father and mother, but husband and wife. I want you to leave your closest blood tie and cleave to your wife. Because she reflects you. She's your revelation. She's your glory. She's your expression. Amen. If we can see that, there could never be a divorce. The first couple was made with no language of divorce. What you need is a divorce from yourself. You want to apply for the divorce? Apply a divorce from yourself. And say, God, I need an application. I need to fill in my forms for a divorce, but it's from myself. The reason people divorce is the hardness of selfish hearts. When we talk about the first marriage, Adam and Eve, what was a great mystery concerning Christ and the church? Ruth, a Moabite woman, a Gentile. The Gentile is always involved in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. We look at Tamar. She was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. Judah took Tamar for his son. He brought her in the marriage covenant. She was a Gentile that couldn't even come close to God. No matter what Judah wanted to do, she was already married. He brought her from a Gentile into a marriage covenant. He couldn't change the mystery. It ended up with his very own seed coming through Tamar to continue the line of the Messiah. What changed Tamar? What changed everything was the marriage covenant. And when Judah wanted to come to Tamar and to destroy her and to bring judgment to her, what did Tamar do? Tamar raised up the token. Tamar rose up the tokens that he gave. And when he saw the tokens, he said, you are more righteous than I am. But Judah couldn't change that covenant of marriage. When Joshua conquered Jericho, inside there was a woman named Rahab, another Gentile. And Solomon, the general, began to look over the captives of Jericho, and he saw there was Rahab. And by virtue of marriage to Solomon, the founder of Bethlehem. And out of Bethlehem was going to come a governor that will rule his people. That marriage union was the thing that elevated the woman to change her status and put her in the line for the Messiah blessing. Here was Rahab, a prostitute, maybe lived with 1,000 men in her life. But what eliminated, what took away all the parts was the marriage covenant. And she could have lived with 1,000 men in her life. But the moment Solomon took her in the marriage covenant, all the past was gone. Thank God today for the opening of the seals. You are justified as though you've never sinned before. And that's why Brother Branham says the invisible union. That is my Thanksgiving message. He says, I'm the most happiest person in the whole world. Because the two now has become one. Rahab a harlot, Ruth a Moabitish. Ruth was produced through the Lot, through Lot and his daughters by marriage union. How we changed their status from beggars, from harlots to become joint heirs. What can change any man's status is the marriage covenant. You can take a harlot, take a prostitute, and change the status to become a queen of a land and a city by virtue of marriage. Look at Bathsheba, an adulteress, but after the death of her first husband, she came in union with King David. She brought forth a son, Solomon, who was going to be heir of the throne of the kingdom. An adulterous woman, we're not talking about a condition, but the power invested in the marriage covenant. Now we can appreciate the statement, I no longer call you church, but I call you bride. I no longer call you an unmarried woman, but I call you a married woman. I call you bride. And all your sin and everything you've done is all eliminated. And you stand in the presence of God as though you've never ever sinned before. What a day, what an hour. We look at Esther, bondswoman, that became a free woman, became a queen by virtue of marriage. Vashti rejected the voice of the king. But there was a girl, a bondmaid in that time, taking heed of the voice of the king. We see Vashti rejected the headstone. And only when the headstone was rejected, that was the time the call went out, go get me a bride. When the Pentecostal church rejected the headstone, a call went out, go get me a bride. Can we say praise the Lord? And so we find there was three courts in the palace. One court was for the virgins. One court was for the concubines. And the royal court was for the queen. And we see the virgins was there in the court. But they never received the seed of the king. And they never hear his voice. They never hear his voice. And they never receive his seed. They never hear their name call. Their position never changed. They get ministered to with perfumes. Morally, they're upright. They get all the blessings. They get the hallelujahs. They get the amens. They get the blessings. But they never receive the seed of the king. And they never hear his voice. Their status never changes. Then the concubines, they have a little more experience than the virgins. They've been in the king's house, but they are not treated as wife. They are just part of a purchased possession. They are property. Their status never changes, and they never have the royal robe. Amen. But there was Esther, the bride, the wife, the queen. In the third court, the third pool, knowing what God wants her to do with the word. Can we say praise the Lord? We don't relate to God as just virgins. We don't relate to God as concubines. But we relate to Him as wife. Amen. We see the power invested in the marriage covenant. Many a man wants to be married to a woman that he could dominate and manipulate. But Christ married a bride to raise her up to the same adoption. To the same status. Her word is His word. She will have His mind. She will have, thus say the Lord. And those in the bride will be so much like Him, she will be Him. She's life of His life. She's word of His word. And she's spirit of His spirit. The book of Esther is where the king and queen comes together. The mystery was Esther, the final voice. The mystery of all this thing was Esther, the final voice. It was not so much the king, but it was Esther, the final voice. And that's why the end time mystery is the bride will be the final voice. under a messenger. You say, well, Brother Branham is the final voice. But Brother Branham said that the bride under her messenger will become the final voice. She is the Word made flesh. She is Jesus in bride form. The form might be different, but it's still the same Jesus. Because it's Father, Son, and Bride. When God began to reveal Himself and made known to Adam and Eve in Eden, they hold the secret of all human beings. Because the threefold secret in the back part of the mind of God, Malachi 4 said, you have to see Jesus Christ in every verse. But you must understand that Jesus Christ is not alone. Adam was not alone. He had a bride with him. So if you read the Bible and you see Jesus Christ, you have to see yourself. Because wherever He is, that's what you are. Because Adam was not alone. And Christ is not alone. Because she's part of Him. Every type, every law, every shadow, parables and symbols reveals Christ and the bride. And God put everything in the Bible supernaturally. Paul says we were servants of sin, but now we are servants of righteousness. Galatians chapter 4, he said, it shows you the bondwoman, her state has not changed, she's not free. It is only the marriage covenant that can change your status. And if you are in bondage, you can never come in the third pool, Son of Man ministry, and be able to finish the end time commission and to become the final voice. To eat the book and prophesy again. That's what the third pool is. Christ reproduced back in human beings. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Malachi 4 was one with God. Every bondage in the life of this man was broken. That's why he could preach. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. That's why you could preach, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Uniting time and sign. Statue of a perfect man. Invisible union of Christ. The headship, the token. Oneness, there was no bondage. His status was changed. If he come to adoption, you and I have to come to the same adoption. Praise his wonderful, glorious name. The Galatian was called out by Moses, by the Son of Man ministry. They could not recognize the corner has been changed. It was a new day, it was a new dispensation, a new access was given. They could not see the message had a different emphasis. And Paul says, O Galatians, who has bewitched you? You have fallen from grace. They went back to a former day. They went back to religion. And Christ was there to take them into a relationship. Amen. And they were going back to a law. And he says, you have fallen from grace. It is no more master and slave relationship. It is husband and wife. A new type of union. That's why if a man relates to his wife as a bondmaid and expects her to live like a free woman, it shows he doesn't even understand his position. If you understand your position, you can relate that same position back to her. That's why our position is changed under this union. We are a super church, a super race by being a part of Him. And we are privileged. Our privileges, our positions, our rights. We are going to inherit the rapture, the marriage supper. We don't work from these things. We inherited by being wife. You've never worked to be in the rapture. You've never worked to be part of this thing. You inherit this by being wife. I no longer call you church, but I call you bride. That's why marriage is redemption. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says in the book of Hosea chapter 2, in that day thou shalt call me Ishi, which is husband, and no more Bali. This is the day of marriage. Thank God there's never been a day like this day. There's never been a life like this day. And because of this great ministry, our marriages should be healthy. We should have the most healthiest marriages on this planet Earth. There should be no bickering and abusing and manipulating. It should be such a harmony because we see the pattern. God and Christ. Christ and the messenger. Pastor and church. Husband and wife. It filters right back in the home. Thank God today. We can say there's never been a day like this day to us. And there's never been a light like this day to us. That's where the message is not books and tapes. It's to do with the bride. You can have the message in book form, tape form, computer form, MP3 form. All those forms are wonderful. But unless it becomes revelation form to you, it will mean nothing to you. It's to do with the bride. The end product of any tree, it's not the leaves, it's the fruits. The fruits is the glory of the tree. And we are the glory of Jesus Christ. We are the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was the revelation of God. He was the image of God, and we are be conformed in the image of the Son. And He says, Father, the same glory that I shared with you, Father, glorify me with the same glory that I had with you in the beginning. I want that same glory, that same fellowship, that same oneness to be transferred to my bride. It is from Father, it is Son, now it's bride form. And that's why we could say today, Father, glorify your bride with the same glory you had with her in the beginning. Because the two has become one. I pray tonight that God will bless your heart. That you will understand. And sermons that I always encourage people to read with Brother Bannon relates on it is the sermons on invisible union. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. The rising of the sun. These are the sermons that Brother Bannon trying to show us. He never came to bring sermons to us. See, the Pentecostal world can read Brother Bannon's books and see sermons. We don't see sermons, we see a message. We see Christ. We see Christ projected through that. And it's not books and tapes. It is to do with the bride. And the most powerful covenant on planet earth is the marriage covenant. And that's why you should appreciate your wife. You should talk to her. You should pray with her. You should bring her to adoption. You should raise her up to the same equality where you could say that your voice is my voice. You are me in bride form. You are my reflection. You are my glory and you are my compliment. May God bless you tonight. And when we sing today and say tonight, there's never been a day like this day. In 6,000 years, there's never been a day. That's why the message of the hour is the greatest thing that's ever struck the earth. And for the first time, God is unveiled. For the first time, God is naked. And that's why Abram told Eliezer, put your hand on my thigh. Put your hand on my thigh. That's a very private part of the body. Put your hand on my thigh and swear by me that you will not take my son or daughter from the Canaanites. Thank God tonight we have seen his name on his thigh. And the only way you can see your name on his thigh or see his name on his thigh, it has to be the marriage covenant. You can never view a naked body of somebody unless you're in the marriage covenant. God has uncovered himself. And for the first time in 6,000 years, God is naked. And we are naked because the marriage has taken place. May God bless you. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Let's just raise our hands and let's just worship the Lord. If you're standing next to your wife, just put your arm around her. And you pray for her. And let's just worship Him. And then pray to the Lord in your own way. And say, God, I'm so thankful for this great union. Let's worship and let's pray the Lord. And let's pray in your own way. And your wife next to you, just pray with her and just honor him and thank him. Kind, gracious Father, as we come before you tonight, Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that we can fellowship around your word. Father God, the greatest thing that has ever struck this earth came to us at the end time. Father, we have eaten the book, we have become the book, now we can prophesy. The lion has roared, now we can prophesy. Father, we pray for each of these people. Pray, God, of those who need a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, may you give it to them. We pray, God, for every marriage that is here today. Pray for every husband, every wife. We pray, God, may your Holy Spirit come and undertake for them. Bless your people, Father. If there's anybody sick among us, in the name of Jesus Christ, you raise your hand before the Lord and we pronounce every person well for the glory of God. May you leave this building and say, God, I thank you for my healing. Every person that's sick today, every person that's not well in your body, we make you well, we pronounce you well on the basis of the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. There's never been a day like this day. There's never been a light like this light while we welcome the local pastor again. There's never been a day.
You just love His Word? Amen. Would you just like to take a few moments just to worship Him and adore your Lord, your Savior, your not only your bridegroom, your husband? I just love the Word of God. It's so wonderful. It is truly an invisible union, isn't it? He's slipped onto our finger the wedding ring of unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it, but He elevated our status. It's so wonderful. Nothing that we deserved at all, but we were His bride. And I'm so glad He took a picture of me before I came into this world. And it's not what I did in time. It's what He sees of me in eternity. Brother Branham said he doesn't even see you down here. He only hears your voice coming through the blood. That's true justification. You never did it to begin with. I just love to watch the intensity of the word. You know, yes, how many will say the trials are getting greater? The pressures, the squeeze is on, but the word is more concentrated. The diet is original seed. We're getting all of the hybridization out of the word. It's not thunders and two souls and Perugia anymore. It's the original seed. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it nice to know that it's not a preacher preaching? It's Christ preaching to his bride. It's almost seamless. It's almost supernatural. It is supernatural. I didn't hear Brother Harold. I heard Jesus Christ speaking as the oracles of God through a yielded vessel. That was the voice of a man from Cape Town, South Africa. That was his accent and his vocal cords, but it was Jesus Christ's words that I heard. And it's so easy now to look beyond the veil. Years ago, it was harder to look beyond the veil. But see, the bride is growing and maturing. Isn't it nice to be able to look to the person next to you and to the other person on the other side and say, you don't even see that person, their faults and their failures. It's all under the blood. And why, how could one of us point a finger at another person when we both are married to the same man? Hallelujah. And there's no jealousy. Hallelujah. I want to worship him. Let's just worship him. Commune with me. Let's go. I don't want to be on that outer court. I don't even want to be under the church ages, the lamps. I don't want to be under seven golden candlesticks anymore. The systems, time's no more for those systems. They rejected him. The door was shut in Revelation 3:21. But if the systems put Jesus Christ out, then he says to a bride, come up a little higher. And then what does he tell that bride to do? Take a book. Take a book. And that's the bride's book. That's Revelation 5:1, isn't it? And the lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. It's the symbology of fullness. And it's not fullness in Jesus being somewhere in the air. It's Christ in bride form now. In that day you shall know that I am in the Father. Jesus said, I was always in the Father. The Father in me, that's easy enough to understand. But then he says, I in you. Well, okay, that's the new birth. But he also said, and you were always in me. Hallelujah. I was always in him. Oh, come you with me. Just commune with him now. Yes, come you with me. Between the wings of that chair. I'll meet you there. Hallelujah, Lord.